Scripture Stories is a program for you, the children. As you listen, remember that these stories are about real people who lived long ago. Read along with us. You'll find these stories in the Scripture Stories books published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have your mother, father, teacher, or a friend help you find the story and invite them to read along with you too. If you remember, last week we read the story of the people of Ammon. The sons of Mosiah taught the gospel to the Lamanites. Thousands of Lamanites repented and joined the church. Those Lamanites who joined the church called themselves Anti-Nephi-Lehis, or the people of Ammon. They were good, hard-working people. The Lamanites who did not repent were angry with the people of Ammon and prepared to fight them. The people of Ammon knew that the wicked Lamanites would come to kill them, but decided not to fight back. They had repented of killing. They buried their weapons deep in the ground and promised God they would never kill again. When the wicked Lamanites came and began killing them, they bowed to the ground and prayed. Seeing that the people of Ammon would not fight back, many of the wicked Lamanites stopped killing them. The Lamanites were sorry that they had killed. They threw down their weapons and joined the people of Ammon. They would not fight anymore. More Lamanites came to kill the people of Ammon. They still would not fight back, and many were killed. Not wanting the people he loved to be destroyed, Ammon prayed for help. The Lord told him to take his people and leave the land. The Nephites in Zarahemla gave Ammon and his people the land of Jershon and protected them. They became friends. We also read about Korihor. A man named Korihor came to Zarahemla. He did not believe in Jesus Christ and preached that what the prophets had said about the Savior was not true. Korihor told the people they were foolish to believe that Jesus would come to the earth and suffer for their sins. He said people could not be punished for their sins because there was no life after death. Many people believed Korihor. They became wicked. Korihor tried preaching to the people of Ammon, but they would not listen. They tied him up and took him to Ammon, who forced him out of the city. Korihor went to the land of Gideon, but the people there would not listen to him either. The chief judge sent him to Alma. Alma asked Korihor if he believed in God. Korihor said he did not. Alma testified that there is a God and that Christ would come. Korihor wanted Alma to perform a miracle to prove there is a God. Korihor said he would believe in God if he saw a sign of God's power. Alma told Korihor he had already seen many signs of God's power through the scriptures and the testimonies of all the prophets. Alma said the earth and everything on it and the movement of the planets in the sky are also signs that there is a God. Korihor still refused to believe. Alma was sad because of Korihor's wickedness and warned him that his soul might be destroyed. Korihor still wanted a sign to prove there is a God. Alma said the sign from God would be that Korihor would not be able to speak. After Alma said this, Korihor could not speak. Korihor wrote that he knew this sign was from God and that he had always known there is a God. He asked Alma to pray and remove the curse. Alma knew that if Korihor could speak, he would lie again to the people. Alma said the Lord would decide if Korihor would speak again. The Lord did not give Korihor back his speech. Korihor went from house to house, begging for food. The chief judge sent a letter throughout the land telling what had happened to Korihor. He told those who had believed Korihor to repent. The people repented. Korihor went to live with the Zoramites. One day, while he was begging, he was trampled to death. Children at home, please turn to chapter 28, The Zoramites and the Ramiumtum.
The Zoramites had once belonged to God's church, but had become wicked and were worshiping idols. The Nephites wanted to keep the Zoramites from joining the Lamanites, so Alma went with some other missionaries to preach the word of God to the Zoramites. These missionaries were surprised and upset at how the Zoramites were worshiping in their churches, called synagogues.
In the center of the church, the Zoramites had built a high platform called the Ramiumtum. There was room for only one person to stand at the top.
The Zoramites took turns standing there, reaching toward heaven and loudly reciting the same prayer.
In this prayer, the Zoramites said, "God does not have a body, he is only a spirit." They also said there would be no Christ.
The Zoramites thought God had chosen only them to be saved in the kingdom of heaven. They gave thanks for being his favorite people.
After each of the Zoramites had prayed, they went home and did not pray or talk about God again for an entire week.
The wealthy Zoramites loved gold and silver, and they bragged about their worldly treasures. Alma was sad to see how wicked they were.
Alma prayed for him and his missionaries to have strength, comfort, and success in their work.
After asking for help to bring the Zoramites back to the truth, Alma and the other missionaries were filled with the Holy Ghost.
The missionaries then went in separate directions to preach. God blessed them with food and clothing and strengthened them in their work.
Zoramites who were poor were not allowed inside the churches. These people began listening to the missionaries.
Many asked Alma what they should do. Alma told them they did not need to be inside the church to pray or to worship God.
He told them to have faith in God. Then Amulek taught them about Jesus Christ and about God's plan for his children.
The missionaries left, and the Zoramites who had believed them were thrown out of the city.
The believers went to live in the land of Jershon with the people of Ammon.
Although the wicked Zoramites threatened the people of Ammon, the people of Ammon helped the righteous Zoramites and gave them food, clothing, and land.
Well, who were the Zoramites? Yes, Megan.
They were like wealthy people that had a lot of gold and silver, and they kind of bragged about all the stuff that they had.
Why, they sure seemed to. TJ?
Very, very wicked people.
And how did the Zoramites worship? Tiana?
They went up onto this platform called the Ramiamptum, and they preached. They said this prayer, and they did that every week.
How interesting. What kind of a prayer was it, Megan?
They thought that Heavenly Father only accepted them and only them into the doors of heaven. And so they kind of, in their prayers, they kind of said, thank you for letting us be the best, when they weren't really the best. They were kind of talking about the wrong things in their prayers.
Yeah, they sounded full of pride. You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. So where did the Zoramites worship? Daisy?
They worshipped in buildings like called synagogues.
Okay. So when did the Zoramites worship? All the time or when? TJ?
Once a week.
Once a week. And then what did they do?
And then they went home and just didn't think about it or talk about it again.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Do you think that'll work? I don't think so. How can you get close to Heavenly Father if you just go to church once a week and then never think about it again till the next week? Anders.
You have to say your prayers and not just go to church and then not think about him for the rest of the week.
That is very true. Mason, when do you think you should worship God?
Every day you should worship God with reading your scriptures and having family home evening.
I think you're right. That definitely will help to make your spirit strong and build your relationship with Heavenly Father. What about prayer? What about praying? Megan?
We can pray anywhere, anytime. We should probably pray a little more often this just then, whenever we need to. Just kind of pray and keep in touch with what's happening.
Right. So do you think we should pray just one time on Sunday?
When you pray, you should act like you're having a conversation with Heavenly Father.
So do you think that we should, if we're acting like we're having a conversation with Heavenly Father, do you think that we should get up and just do it once for all to hear? Kind of like a poem or like we're reciting something? Megan?
You should talk to him like he's, Tiana said, like you're having a conversation, like he's standing right in front of you, just like you're talking to him, and say things that have happened in your day, what's kind of bugging you, what you just kind of want to let out and tell somebody.
Yeah, definitely. Why do you think Heavenly Father wants to hear that stuff from us? Anders?
So he can help you.
How should we worship Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ? We saw how the Zoramites worshipped. Tiana?
We should do it more reverently.
Daisy?
We should try to be, like, respectful to them.
Mason, you know the Zoramites, they had a lot of pride in their heart, and so they were trying to show off a lot when they were worshiping. How do you think we should worship?
Well, we should worship like we actually mean what we're saying and say different things every time because we have different things each day.
Mm-hmm. What kind of heart should we have? A prideful heart, a hard heart, or...
Well, we should have, like, an open heart and a humble heart, and, like, we really want him to help us.
Absolutely. What were some of the things the Zoramites believed that were wrong? Megan?
The Heavenly Father only welcomed them into heaven and thought that they were the best, and they thought Heavenly Father only liked them and thought they were just the best of people.
Mm-hmm. And what is the truth about that?
They're not really good people. They're kind of lost because they don't know what's right and what's wrong, so they worship wrong and they don't have guidance.
What is the truth about Heavenly Father only likes fancy people in his church?
It's false, because he likes all of his children equally.
That is right. Daisy.
They also believe that he didn't have a body and he was just a spirit.
That's right. What is the truth about that?
He does have a body.
That is right. Tiana.
They believe that Jesus Christ would not come.
And what is the truth about that?
He did come.
He did. Yes, and he will. Exactly. He's still going to. So, what were the prayers of the Zoramites like? Daisy.
They said the same thing every single time they were saying a prayer.
So it was kind of memorized. They didn't even have to think. They just rattled it off kind of thing. TJ, how should we pray?
Reverently and sort of like we're having a conversation, like he's right in front of you.
I think that's true. Megan?
Well, we should pray in a reverent manner. Like, say it, not like the Zoramites, like loud and kind of like shout it. We should, some we can say out loud, but that doesn't mean scream it. Just kind of be reverent with it.
Because you know, at church, sometimes we say the prayers out loud, right? Into the microphone so everyone can hear it. But how is it different? Daisy.
We're saying different things and we're saying it reverently. We're not shouting or yelling it, and we're saying it peacefully.
Definitely. So when and where can we pray? TJ.
Anytime and anywhere.
Excellent. Anytime and anywhere. And sometimes the prophet has counseled us and the scriptures counsel us that sometimes we need to pray in private and when we're all alone in our closet. That's what it says in the scriptures, to go into the closet. Because sometimes you need to have that special moment with your Heavenly Father. And so it's not always just praying in front of your parents or praying at church or family prayer at morning and night. Sometimes you have to just do your special communication with him in a secret place where you can share your heart with Heavenly Father. And that's wonderful. How did Alma and the other leaders feel when they saw the people who had fallen away from the truth? Mason.
They felt really sad because they didn't want them to be wicked. They wanted them to follow the right teachings of God.
Megan?
They were surprised and upset at how they were acting.
Indeed. Do you think they were kind of like, what is this? What's going on? What happened to these people? This is so weird. So yeah, they were a little surprised and upset. So how can we help those who do not know the truth? I'm sure that Alma wanted to help them understand what was true. How can we do that? Tiana.
We can invite them to go to church.
Great. Megan.
We can be like young missionaries now. We can slowly teach them and gradually move them on to what the church is really like and be kind to them, because what they may know might not be right and they might feel foolish for what they are believing in what we have.
TJ.
Invite them to talk to the missionaries.
Yeah, these are all great ideas. Daisy?
You can give people Book of Mormons and tell them what it is about.
That's all wonderful. You guys are going to be good missionaries, I can tell. So what were the Zoramites' hearts set on? What did they think was most important? Megan?
Their money and their riches and worldly treasures and worldly possessions.
Right, exactly. Do you think that affected the way they worshipped Heavenly Father?
Yeah.
In what way? Anders.
They didn't really care about what they said or anything. They just cared about their money and what they had. They didn't really care about anything else.
Right. Daisy, do you think that before they got up to say their prayer, they were more worried about what they were wearing that week?
Yeah.
Or what Heavenly Father was hearing them say?
What they were wearing.
For sure. Tiana.
Like, they put their worldly things in the number one spot that you have to worry about the most. But really, Heavenly Father should be our number one spot.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that some children your age set their hearts on today? TJ.
Well, some people set their hearts on just video games and stuff like that.
Yeah. Megan?
I pick good friends, and what my friends are mostly on is being kind to others, and they try to be nice to everybody, and what they mostly work on is to love one another as like Jesus loves us.
That's excellent. So I want to ask you this now that we've talked about some of the, we've mentioned a few good things to set our hearts on. We also looked at some negative things to set our hearts on. So why is it wrong to set our hearts on worldly things? Like, what's wrong with video games and, you know, collecting collector's toys and cards and those things that we can worship in a way? Daisy.
Because when we set our hearts on worldly things, we don't think about Heavenly Father as much and do the things that he'd want us to do.
Mm-hmm. TJ.
It's what Satan wants us to do.
Yeah. Tiana.
When we set our hearts, like, on worldly things, we don't think about the things that we need to be thinking about. Like, we need to be thinking about Heavenly Father and what he would want us to do. And we know that since Satan wants us to do the other things, like the worldly things, we know that we have to stick closer to Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. Now, some things that we do for fun and worldly things can be okay a little bit, right? Like playing a little video games. But imagine this. You're playing a video game, you're really into it, and your sister turns off the television by accident, and you shout at her, "You nincompoop! You turned off my game!" Is that when you've set your heart on the video game? Can you see how it can distract from the way that we're supposed to be? Yeah, you know that you didn't set your heart on video games if you react kindly and say to your sister, "Oh, whoops, you accidentally turned off my game. Could you please put it back on?" You can see how things can get too important, huh? So, how did the people of Ammon treat the Zoramites who joined them? Megan.
They treated them like our Heavenly Father and Jesus treat us. They treated them with kind, and they treated them with loving, and they're compassionate for them.
So even though they were different, did they reject them and say, "Oh, can't be with us"? What did they say, Tiana?
They gave them clothes and food, and they gave them land so that they could start making their own money.
That is wonderful. TJ?
They started teaching them the gospel a little bit more.
Excellent. Anders?
They treated them like they were family.
Yes. And they are, aren't they? We're all family. We're spirit family. So that's the way we should treat each other. How should we treat strangers? Anders.
Nicely.
Nicely. Megan.
Kind, because you don't know what's been going on in their lives. And some things, they may have been hurt inside, so they might be kind of lonely and sad. So you need to be nice to them no matter what.
That's right. TJ.
You would treat them as Jesus would.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, what if a stranger is dangerous? Are we going to invite them into our home?
No.
Are we going to take candy from them or get in their car?
No.
No. But can you still treat them kindly like Jesus would?
Yeah.
And protect yourself at the same time?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can. How is this showing love for Heavenly Father when you treat strangers with kindness? Tiana.
Because since everyone is Heavenly Father's children, you're treating his children with care, and he just loves it when people do that.
Exactly. How do you feel when somebody treats your brother or sister poorly? Let's say you're at school and somebody's picking on your sister or brother. How does that make you feel?
Really bad inside. It's happened to me before. I don't really like the feeling.
That's awful. You want to protect them, and you feel upset about that. So imagine Heavenly Father seeing all of his children down here being mean to each other. That probably doesn't make him feel very good, does it? He wants to see us get along and be kind. You are listening to Scripture Stories. Children, please turn to chapter 29, page 81. Alma teaches about faith and the Word of God.
Alma taught the Zoramites about faith. He said those people who ask for a sign before they will believe do not have faith.
Alma said faith is believing that something is true without actually seeing it. He explained that faith grows as a person wants to believe and listens to the Word of God.
The Word is then planted in the person's heart, and like a seed, it starts to grow.
As a person learns more about the gospel, the seed sprouts and keeps growing. The person knows that the seed is good, and his or her faith grows stronger.
Alma said that just as a good seed produces good fruit, the Word of God brings blessings to people who have faith.
What is faith, Anders?
It's believing in something you can't actually see. So if you can't see Jesus Christ, but you still believe in him.
Okay, great. Megan, did you have a comment?
I was going to say it like Anders. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. We can't see Heavenly Father, but we know he's real and true because of the scriptures and what we are doing today, scripture stories. It tells us the things about him and that we can, so our faith can grow stronger.
Mm-hmm. How can you know something is true if you can't see it?
Maybe someone would tell you about it, or like the Holy Ghost could tell you.
Daisy, how else?
Sometimes you can get feelings inside and pray to Heavenly Father to know what you should do.
What do you have faith in, Tiana?
I have faith in Jesus Christ that I know that he came to this earth and he will come again.
Awesome. Anders?
I have faith in all the prophets that lived long ago and in Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father, even though I can't see any of them and I never have.
Megan?
I believe that the gospel is true and that if I do keep Heavenly Father's commandments, that I can live with him again. And I know that Heavenly Father and what we're reading about today is all true.
Daisy?
I have faith that Heavenly Father and Jesus appeared to Joseph Smith and he translated the Book of Mormon.
Wonderful. Mason, what do you have faith in?
I have faith that someday I will be able to go on a mission and I will be able to teach other people about the words of God.
Wonderful. TJ, what do you have faith in?
I have faith that Jesus Christ really lives and that he came and got a body and that he will come again.
Wonderful. How is the word of God like a seed? Megan.
The word of God, the more we hear about it, the more it grows. It's like for a seed, it needs water, and for the word of God to grow, it needs faith, and it needs us. We need to believe in, like, we need missionaries and scriptures and prayer to help the word of God and what we believe and grow.
Wonderful. Anders?
It's like when you first learn about it, it's like you're putting a seed in your heart, and then the more you learn about it, the more it grows.
Excellent. Children, we can know of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ by listening, learning, and following the word of God. As we do so, our faith will grow strong. We've learned so much. I hope we'll all thank Heavenly Father in our prayers for all he taught us. And I hope we'll keep talking about the things we've learned with our families and other people we love. Next week, we'll read chapter 30, Alma counsels his sons, and chapter 31, Captain Moroni defeats Zarahemla. If you'd like to listen to this program again, a grown-up can help you get a copy to play on your computer, iPod, or other music player at radio.lds.org. You can also sign up to get new episodes as soon as they're ready. If you'd like your own copies of the Scripture Stories as books or DVDs, you can find them at scripturestories.lds.org or a grown-up can buy them at your local church distribution center.
See you next week!